is Joseph Coco. I am doing this on interview on behalf of Natto Soup, Keep on Trucking, the art process blog. I'm here at Mokefest 2013. Eric, if you could introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Eric Glide from ericglide.com and also statesquarecomic.com.
All right, awesome. So we talked to you last year. Last year, I believe you had the third issue of Monster Country available.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's gone now.
Yes, I see that. I recall you selling out last year, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So what do you have new for us this year?
I have State of Square Volume 1, which technically debuted at Small Press Expo last year.
Okay.
But it's new to Mocha Art Fest this year. And this is debuting at Mocha Fest, which is Ozzy Rest in Pizza. That's like a little short 10-page mini that's new. And a little bit of a kind of like a sneak peek towards another project I'm working on.
So I see that Station Square is actually Perfect Bound. What's your experience with creating a Perfect Bound book? Would you prefer to just do the self-publishing sort of route where, you know, you go to Kinko's, get it printed, that sort of thing?
No, because I'm terribly lazy. So, but no, what ended up happening with Station Square was, the process for that was actually kind of a nightmare, only because of my own doing, which was when I first started the State Square webcomic, it was like, I didn't want to print it. I always told myself I was just going to draw for fun, blah, blah, blah. And so I was done with like really crappy tools like ballpoint pens and stuff like that. And they were all drawn to like, bleed at the end of the page, which, if you're not aware, it could be a kind of huge pain in the ass to lay out the print.
Yeah.
So when it came time to actually make the book for it, when I actually did decide I was going to do it, what ended up happening was I had to actually manually go back and shrink each page and make panel borders around them and erase them, because what I originally had drawn all the way to the end of the page, which means it would have been cut off in print. So making this book was actually kind of a nightmare, because I had to go back through all 200 something pages that I had drawn so far and, you know, readjust them and stuff like that. But there were some fun parts to it. Like, I went back and changed some dialogue and like added tones to pages that didn't have them and stuff like that. So some parts were fun, like that, but overall it was pretty terrible. But the good news is that my comic is now future-proof, so every page is now set up for print. So now, if I do need to, if I go to print volume 2, I can just send the files immediately, and it's no big deal. So working with Kablam was, you know, for the most part, was pretty great. Like, they have a very easy website to use. You just upload your files in a zip file, they approve them, and they send you your books. I actually want to go back and do the Monster Countries in the same way.
Yeah.
And like have them like, you know, printed like as small mini, like mini comics, and have them send them to me that way. Because honestly, I'm a little tired of stapling them and shit like that.
So, yeah, so you're definitely moving towards a Perfect Bound, right then?
Yeah. I mean, there's a cost factor, but they look better and they look nicer. So.
Have you found that the fans are more interested in the Perfect Bound book rather than
honestly,
the...
Well, at SBX they were. At SBX, the books were selling well. Here, my minis are selling well. I guess it's just like different conventions, different audiences.
Yeah, Mocha seems to be more a zines and minis festival,
yeah,
really.
For a lower price, you can just kind of walk up and pick them up. Less of a commitment, I guess.
Right. So, would you say that Station Square functions better as a webcomic or in print form?
I mean, I'm biased. I just like reading books more. But I just post them on the pages. I post pages online just to have something to do on the side as I'm working on other things anyway. So, but, I mean, most of my friends like that have read it. They prefer reading the books online. It's kind of a slow burn online. So,
somewhat of a falling out, I guess.
So, how long is Station Square? How long have you been making it? About 2 years now? 3 years?
About four, I think. It's going to be four in July, I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of crazy when I think about it.
Has the art changed significantly from the beginning to the current?
Like I said, when I started, it was just drawing with ballpoint pens. So. And, like, you know, I was not taking it very seriously. It was always something I thought about. I would just do for fun or whatever. But now, still is for fun. You know, I'm not taking it too seriously. But I definitely put more effort. different.
Be angry.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, you know, just drawing those pages over such a long period of time, you learn a lot of things about, like, making comics yourself and, like, little tricks and shortcuts, you know, through, like, the programs I use and stuff like that that help out with drawing other stuff, like Yazzie comic that I'm working on now, so.
Family, sure. So, have readers, I mean, do you find that it's more noticeable that your skill level and style has changed throughout the years when it's actually in one book? Or do the readers not seem to mind?
Actually, a few people noticed when I switched digitally. They were commenting on the site, and they seemed to be mad about it. But well, other than that, I haven't really had too many comments on it.
So I know that you also are contributing to Video Game Playing Friends Club, which is a Let's Play team or Friends Club, if you will, in which you and Frankie Coleman are playing various video games, primarily Sega games at the time, for anyone who's interested. How would you say that's contributed to your art? I know last year we talked about how video games have influenced you in general, so more specifically, have you been gaining a wider variety of audience by playing video games and broadcasting them?
Well, I have noticed that, at least on Twitter, there's a certain kind of group of people that I guess like are more on the Let's Play side of things. Like they watch a lot of Let's Play videos like that. And I've also gotten some followers just from posting the videos. And there's been a bit of runoff from that. So it's a little bit, you know, it's just early on. We just started playing the videos. But there is a little crossover there, you know, with the comic stuff. And I just put up an online store, so I guess we'll see how sales and stuff like that go. I'm pretty behind the times. I just opened an online store. So we'll see like how sales like that crossover. But I mean, like, in terms of interest like that, like, when I was working on the Rest in Pizza comic, I got a lot of new followers from the Let's Play videos, and they were all interested in this comic.
I saw it.
Commenting on the artwork and stuff like that.
I was right next to
that. That was pretty cool.
Them.
I
probably didn't see me.
So, you know, that comic is available online. Hopefully, sales will be shown there.
I saw you.
I'm definitely doing things with a bit of a crossover, and
I'm like really spaced out.
Yeah, so I start doing artwork more for the channel, so like that, I guess.
Well, no, I don't watch much comics.
Yeah, definitely. So would you encourage someone who's considering kind of branching out a little bit from the comic scene into other related, like, geek culture sort of areas to do so and kind of promote themselves through those channels?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you think it's better to just stick to the traditional route where you're constantly producing sketches and tweeting them and sharing them on Tumblr and those sort of things?
I mean, for me, I found that most of the audience I've gathered was from not doing comics, like fan art and other appearances and themes and stuff like that. I think it's definitely better that way. I think because comics is kind of like, comic fans are kind of pickles, so it's kind of hard to like keep people around for a long time, at least in my experience. But you can definitely pull people over from different mediums. Yeah, I mean, at least with the kind of stuff that I draw, you know, video games is definitely a shared interest among the two. So
I went home.
Right. So would you have any advice for webcomic artists who are considering coming to MochaFest for the first time?
Probably do well if you have, you know, especially if you're already well known and stuff like that. So, you know, I've seen a lot of webcomic artists that are, I'm not sure which people are debuting this year, but I've seen a lot of like popular webcomic artists, like especially last year at SPX and stuff like that, they were doing really well for themselves. The webcomics thing, I think it's kind of blending into the indie comics thing. You know, people have their stuff online and they kind of naturally just loose a book. People are generating a lot of sales that way. So it's like, at this point, I almost wouldn't be thinking of webcomics anymore. I think like Mocha and small press jobs and stuff like that are gradually shifting towards like the webcomics thing. So I think like, I don't know if there's going to be like a saturation point or anything like that, I definitely do think that it's a good time to be a webcomic artist like that.
Yeah.
Twitter and Tumblr and all that. So it's really easy to promote yourself.
Right. So, I know you mentioned you had just opened up an online store, but you've been producing comics for many years. What was your primary method to monetize your comics, considering a lot of your comics were web-based? I mean, I know you come to conventions and you do some sales there. Is that your main bread and butter, I guess?
Yeah, originally it was all commissions. To do is through my store and hopefully sell comics steadily throughout the year. And also, I want to start looking into selling PDF files, which is I think I've seen people do it too. So I think that's pretty exciting too, because you have like a pay-as-you-want model. And I think that, I haven't tried it myself yet. As soon as I get back to Mocha, with Rest in Beats, I plan to put up on this site number, and I have a pay-as-you-will model for that. So that's going to be my first sort of sort of step into that and see how that will work out for me. But if that does work out well, I definitely want to look more into that.
Okay, that sounds great. One final question. I haven't asked anyone what the panels are like at Mocha. Have you ever attended any of the panels at
Mocha? I actually have never attended a Mocha panel in the four or five years I've been going.
Are you not interested in them, or are you just too tied to your table to be able to break away?
Like I haven't come to Mocha like as a customer in a very long time. It's
right.
Almost every so for me, I just naturally tend to just sit at the table. It kind of sucks. I do end up missing out on a lot of stuff.
But you're one step closer to making a living in comics. So
So I actually don't have a lot of experience there. I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Eric. I hope you have a good Mocha.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Up and Conning Artist. A video version is available on the Natasoup YouTube channel, along with some convention recaps. And if you wouldn't mind, please consider supporting Becky Hilburn by contributing to her Patreon, or checking out her Tiny People comic at 7inchkara.com and wherever books are sold.